You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
The Senate race to replace a retiring Senator Mitt Romney, certainly it's heating up, and this weekend is the Republican convention. Happens this Saturday. We will cover it for you and, of course, bring you the latest updates right here on KSL News Radio. And today we're joined by Representative John Curtis, who is Senate candidate John Curtis. He's in studio with us.
Yeah, this is very, very interesting. Senator Curtis, not only does open seats not happen very often, it seems like that's all they are right now. We've got an open seat. Your seat is now
exactly.
Open.
Yeah, 10 candidates and 10 candidates for the Senate. And yeah,
that's 10 candidates in the race.
Yes, in both race to replace me and in the Senate race.
Yeah, so a lot 20 of good people. Total. I put their hat in the ring in either in both of these races. That's incredible.
So much is going on, and you're in this unique position where you're still a representative, you're still making important votes, and you're running. I mean, when you're in the House, you're always running. So this is not anything new to you. But let's talk about the bill that just passed in the House. The $95 billion foreign aid bill goes to Israel, Taiwan, Ukraine. There was a weird TikTok element to this that had nothing to do with it, right? But, I mean, it wouldn't be the U.S. Congress if we didn't throw in some random bill as well. But can you talk to us why you decided to vote for all those things?
Yeah, well, listen, first of all, I would need an hour, but let me try to let me try to condense that down just a little bit. I talk to a lot of constituents, and I want them to know, I hear them. They are concerned about a number of things. They're concerned about sending money without accountability. They're concerned that we have not defined an objective for this war. They're worried it's going to be Vietnam and Afghanistan, where we do this for 20 years and pull out. And I think all of those things are very, very legitimate. But I'm telling you, I'm one of those who's absolutely convinced that Putin could not have a victory. And if he had rolled in to Ukraine the way he thought he was going to, which would have been in 2 or 3 days with almost no loss, I know for a fact he would have rolled on another country before any a small amount of time. What happens when one of those countries is a NATO country? Now we're not talking about sending U.S. dollars. We're talking about sending U.S. men and women, and not small dollars either. And I just think this is an incredibly preemptive move by the United States. I also think it's smart from a lot of reasons. You all know that I lived in Taiwan. I speak Mandarin Chinese. I watched China very carefully. I was on the Chinese task force. We're fooling ourselves if we don't think that President Xi of China is watching what we're doing in Ukraine. I think he watched what we did in Afghanistan. I think Putin watched what we did in Afghanistan, and it influences their decisions. If China rolls on Taiwan the way they said they would, it would be devastating to the world U.S. economy. It would pull Australia in, Japan in, all these other countries, and the United States into boots on the ground. And we had a chance to make a swing at preventing that, and I took the swing.
Where does the swinging stop, though? I think to some of the constituents' points that, you know, we don't necessarily have an exit strategy for the billions of dollars that are going overseas. Where does that stop?
I'm going to tell you, that is so fair. Like, I hear that. A lot of my colleagues in Washington are saying, wait a minute, how do we know the answer to that? Because we have not defined our objective. Is the objective to take back the boundaries of 2 years ago? Is it to take back the pre-Crimea boundaries? President Trump has suggested it's to give up some boundaries. If we don't know the answer to that, how in the world can we know how much money to send? And that is a very legitimate concern, and I worry about that. In the bill, we actually had language that mandated that the president define the objective within 45 days. Now, will he do that? We'll see. But that shows you how concerned members of Congress are that we haven't really defined our objective over there.
What, in your mind, would be a fair agreement?
So, listen, part of the problem with that is if you're going to negotiate, you don't want to put your put your position out there. But if we ended up with the boundaries of 2 years ago, I think we could walk away and say Putin did not get a victory. Mm-hmm. And I think that's reasonable to get back to those. I'm not sure if you really get back to the pre-Crimea boundaries.
But leaving annexed Crimea.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you can say those things, but what you actually end up with, I think if you can get back to the boundaries of 2 years ago, that is a huge win.
Representative John Curtis in studio with us today. He's running for U.S. Senate. The GOP convention is this Saturday, so we're getting closer and closer to some decisions that will be made by the delegates this weekend. Let's talk about that TikTok ban. A lot of Utah businesses have grown their business substantially because of TikTok. Their views are shared. Their restaurants are shared online. But you voted in favor of this ban. And I know there's some nuance to the language, but it's what TikTok is saying is a similar amount to a ban. Why vote in favor of it?
Okay, so not only did I vote for this, but I voted back in committee several weeks ago for this bill. And so I know this bill very well. And the reality of it is TikTok calls it a ban. The bill simply requires the divestive nature of the Chinese government ownership in this. That's all the bill requires. We do not want China to own this, the China Communist Party. Why? Because they have access to all of our data. And worse than that, that means they have control of what messages are sent to our youth and to all of us. The day we voted on this bill in committee, they locked out users of TikTok until they put in their zip code and called their member of Congress to complain about this. If they did that, what's to stop them on election day of banning people, 120 million users from TikTok, until they watch a video from the Communist Party about how we should vote? That should scare all of us. So it's not a ban. Look, I get it. I mean, a lot of people like this. We're not saying don't use it. Don't use it for your business. We're simply saying you cannot have Chinese ownership.
There are some similarities to the bans that were happening in other countries. China, Iran, North Korea have banned U.S. social media companies using almost the exact same language that you used, saying America's going to be, you know, sending out their propaganda. And what they've done is they've banned so many of those social media companies. I guess hearing kind of the same arguments, I get it, we're the good guys. So, you know, do you see where I'm struggling with it a little bit?
Sure, I'm struggling, but let's be clear. This is the Communist Party the Chinese Communist Party, who has proven to be bad actors time and time again. Do we really want them to have control of 120 million people's what they log on to in the morning of an election day, right? And I think this is serious stuff. And then there's the collecting of our data. Do you want them to have all that data on 120 million U.S. citizens? It's a whole nother debate about what's happening with social media. It's a whole nother debate about what's happening with algorithms. That's another debate, and the right to free speech. This is a debate about the Chinese Communist Party having that type of access to Americans.
Does it branch out to other Chinese-developed apps? This is popular ones, Temu, Shein.
Yeah, well, by the way, you guys, I think, have reported on my Temu Act that that says they shouldn't be able to advertise on our TV if they're using slave labor. And so, I mean, that's another conversation, too. It does not. This is a specific TikTok bill.
Representative John Curtis running for U.S. Senate. Best of luck. It's going to be a wild Saturday.
There's a
lot of candidates.
It's a big deal. And I think, you know, just if I could say in closing, what this kind of emphasizes is the reality of it as a candidate is, like, you can have all of these positions. My double role as a member of Congress and as a candidate means you got to show leadership. You got to take these votes. You can't just stand up and say, here's what I would do and then change your mind later on. Like, that's the dual responsibility of being a candidate and a member of Congress.
You're on record.
I'm on record,
and
I'm okay with that.
That's fine.
Are you heading off to speak with the editorial board now?
Yes, so watch the newspapers, and let's see if we make any big mistakes. It's reported tomorrow.
All right.
Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, both of you. You're the best. Yeah.
All right, thanks. We appreciate you taking a few minutes with us here on our listeners as well. Straight ahead, to live comfortably in Utah, a family of four needs to bring in $218,000 a year, according to a new report. How in the world did they break that math down? Well, we'll tell you next.
Are you ready to start your journey as a small business owner? Ready to start something bold? Something groundbreaking. Utah is the startup capital of the world, and we're setting a new global standard for innovation and entrepreneurship. So if you're thinking about starting a new business or looking to grow an existing business, this is where you'll find the resources to make it happen. Visit startup.utah.gov today and start something here.